You know, sometimes in the course of a week, the text that you have announced for a sermon is not necessarily the text that God would have you preach on, and that's true this week. I find that the text out of Acts was not what God would have me talk about on this morning, and rather text came out of the second letter to the Corinthians, the 9th chapter. For those of you who are using the Pew Bibles, it's page number 173 in the New Testament. And I would encourage you, if you would, to find that 9th chapter of the 2 Corinthians. We're going to begin the reading at the 9th verse. Actually, let's back up to the 8th verse. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, He scatters abroad, He gives to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. Why, they long for you and pray for you because of your surpassing grace of God that He has given you. Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift. This is the word on this day for God's people. Thanks be to God. The famed 19th century preacher Henry Ward Beecher was contemplating buying a horse. He looked over many equestrian specimens, and finally the owner of one stable simply couldn't contain himself anymore and burst into praise about a very fine horse. He said, "Now here's really the horse that you want. He's really sound. He will go at any gait. He stands without being hitched. He works at any place that you put him. He goes when you say go. He stops the minute that you say whoa. He doesn't kick. He doesn't bite. He comes when he's called. And he doesn't run off when he sees anything strange." And Beecher looked kind of wistfully and said, "Gee, if only that horse were a member of my church." There are times in the life of the ministry of a local congregation when we come to a point of pivotal decision making for the future and reevaluate our influence for Christ. Just as those who went before us made their sacrifice that we might be positioned in ministry in this day, so we must project what it means to be in ministry for those who will come after us. We need to come when we're called and not run off when we see something strange. Bishop Melvin Wheatley reminds us that individually and members of this generation are yesterday's heirs and tomorrow's pioneers. Yesterday's heirs and tomorrow's pioneers, to make those pivotal decisions, to make the critical discernment, to reach the decisive action, we need to be grounded in the reality that God will provide for us in the here and now and in the future. The Apostle Paul comes to the end of his second, what we know as his second letter to the Corinthians, and he wants them to be assured that what God has done for them in their midst, God will do again and again and again. That God's providence and protection will be with them. And so he writes, as we come to that 8th verse in that 9th chapter, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough in everything, you have abundance for every good work." Our God in Christ is able to supply all our needs as we seek to work God's will. For God will do it again in three ways. In the first place, God provides the opportunity when we make the response. There are on speaking circuits those who are known as motivational speakers, and one such speaker was attempting to gauge his effectiveness from his wife as he solicited her evaluation about his speech. And she responded by saying, "You didn't make the most of your opportunities." "What opportunities?" he said. She responded by saying, "The opportunity to sit down." We need to make the most of the opportunities which God provides. God is present with us in all sorts of possibilities in new populations and new generations that need to hear and experience and receive the great good news of God's act in Jesus Christ. And they're right here. Right within a 5-mile radius. We may wish that the population demography immediately around Burns Church had not changed to the extent that it has. But we have the reality that each generation needs to hear the gospel, and that there are new persons within appropriate distances that need to hear the gospel of Christ in our day. So that God is providing a new opportunity for which we must make a response as Christ Church. Secondly, God provides the resource if we take the risk. Paul is spelling out the all-sufficiency which God provides for us. Later in the letter, Paul, and you remember this part well, Paul tells the Corinthians that he asked God to remove some unnamed illness or life-threatening infirmity. We don't know what it is. But instead of, remember, and Paul went to God three times imploring that whatever it was, it be removed, that he might be made more effective in his ministry. And what does God say? "My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness." At the very point that we think we are too weak, and that we don't have the resources to be engaged in a great mission for Christ, God will provide us the resources if we are willing to take the risk. Our conference preacher at the annual session this past week was the well-known Zan Holmes. Comes out of Texas, nationally known. And he tells the story of a couple that was seated together on a park bench. And they sat there for an hour without either one of them saying anything. And at last, the woman could stand the silence no more, and so she broke it by asking her beau, "What are you thinking about?" "Oh," he said, "I'm sitting here thinking how I would like to be an octopus, to have 8 arms to be able to put around you." To which she responded by saying, "Why do you need 8 arms? You haven't done anything with the 2 you already have." So often we don't realize the tremendous resources that we already possess to be in ministry and mission for God. For as we, this church and congregation, enters this new millennium, we must begin to think about the new expressions of the Christian faith to offer to this community. No longer can we take the position that one size fits all, and we need to risk new ways of communicating the gospel, knowing that God will provide the resource. And thirdly, then, God will bring to fruition if we make the commitment. It's been said that the last seven words of the church are, "We have never done it that way before." Indeed, the first seven words of the church are, "We can do all things through Christ." It's this assurance that allows us to commit ourselves to great undertakings, to be able to provide the finest of facilities in worship to the newest in Christian generations. There's that wonderful story of Abraham Lincoln concerning an incident that took place while he was the occupant of the White House during the Civil War. Lincoln did not go to Sunday morning worship regularly because his presence was always rather disrupting to any service that he would attend. But what may not be known was that Lincoln would very often go on Wednesday nights to the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. He would not enter the sanctuary, but he would sit in the pastor's study that was right off the chancel area with the door open so that he could hear the service. And on one occasion, he took a White House aide with him. And as they were walking back to the executive mansion, the aide asked him what he thought of the service. And Lincoln responded by saying that he thought that the sermon was well thought out, that it was powerfully delivered, that it was very eloquent. Then said the man, "You thought it was a great sermon?" "No," said Lincoln. "No? No. Because the preacher did not ask us for something great." God will bring our ministry and mission to fruition if we bring to that ministry and mission a commitment to do something great in our time and in our place. We must feel by God's Spirit that we are about the cause of Christ that is so powerful that we simply cannot fail. There was another congregation in the Denver area that was at the same point, that pivotal, critical decision-making point that comes every once in a while in the epic of a local church. That congregation was having a difficult time discerning its direction, until a woman got up in a congregational meeting and shared the story that she had been pleading and praying. It seems that her beloved daughter and her great-grandchildren had moved from Colorado back to Vermont. And while the daughter had been raised in the church, she had not found a church home that was comfortable and inviting. The woman prayed that there would be some church in her vicinity that would be inviting and enticing to that daughter and her family. And at last the word came that they had found a church home. And the woman was giving thanks that night for her prayers having been answered, that such a church existed. And then she added, "This church ought to become the inviting, enticing fellowship that will answer another mother's prayer when she's praying for her family to find Christian fellowship." We all need to know that God will do it again, as persons come into this community and seek the rich fellowship that is an inherent part of this congregation. For God will provide the opportunity if we will but respond. God will provide the resource if we will but risk. God will bring to fruition if we but make the commitment, because God will do it again. Let us pray. Lord, we are the church. You have called us to be your people. And now allow us, through our commitment and our risking, to seize hold of the opportunities and the resources to be about your mission. All in Jesus' name. Amen.